go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Yo, hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 56 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Clapping because I'm pausing, thinking about what I want to say. Where does the B-Man want to start this episode tonight? Episode 56. That's the second time I've said that. That is a redundant. My English teacher, senior year of high school, would slap me on the wrist for that. Metaphorically, she never slapped me. It's strange, those high school teachers you have that you dread having because you know they're going to be a very challenging teacher as far as grading and expectations. But years later, you actually are thankful that you had those teachers that actually cared and made you put in some work. They actually taught you a little bit about this English language and how to use it properly sometimes. All right, enough with the pausing, enough with the talking about high school. Let's get to reality right now. Episode 56, redundant again. Present, though, August 2024. I've come to the realization that I don't enjoy being happy. It's an unsettling feeling for me. Whenever I'm happy, I'm always feeling that something's going to drop and ruin it all. It's the reason why I'm actually, even though I'm a loser, big time loser, no relationship, no real career, no real success with this project that is Verbal Graffiti, no success with my stand-up comedy now that I've been doing 10 plus years. I am a happy person. And I realize when I drive, I'm driving the speed limit because I don't want to get in an accident and get severely injured and ruin my body and my mind and kaput, there goes my happiness. There's nothing. When you're in a happy state of mind, you're not being productive. That's a state of idleness. You're not moving yourself forward. You're not challenging yourself. Your mind, your body is in a lazy river, which is very comfortable, very soothing. But you're not moving yourself. You're not moving a society in which we live. You're not making yourself better or the society better. I don't like the happiness of others either. It's funny. I'll be at a bar or a restaurant, and it'll be late night, and there's always a group that's the happiest, and they're the loudest, and they're drinking. I like that happiness because I know the tax is coming. In a few hours, they're going to have to wake up, and they're going to have a horrific, pounding headache that not three cups, three 16-ounce coffees aren't going to get rid of. So that's not the happiness that kind of grinds my gears, if you will. It's more the happiness, people who are just happy in general. And people who they'll spend a Friday night going to playing board games at a board game place. Something like that, where you don't need a drink, you don't need to inhale substances to escape your mind. These people who just ride bikes early in the morning as the sun is rising, or who find pleasure merely walking in the woods, going for a gentle hike. That type of person that is happy, there's something about that's irritating to me. It's like, what? Because life's about the struggle. Think about every movie that you enjoy that tears, pulls the strings of your soul, your emotions. They're not happy. Like, I love the Joker, the one with Joaquin Phoenix. Nothing about that movie was happy. Now, I don't want to be Joaquin Phoenix Joker in real life, even though there are a lot of parallels between that Joker and my life, aka living with my mom, being a unsuccessful comedian. I'm not going to off anybody or myself. I love little people. I don't like the people of the circus, so I'm okay with Hakeem knocking him off. But yeah, it's someone told me, who was it? Who's that director? The one from Jurassic Park that I mentioned last, Spielberg. Someone had mentioned somewhere on the internet that if you look at all his movies, the main theme throughout them all was a struggle for freedom, for identity. And when you're happy in where you are in life, that struggle isn't there. You're not, you know, the destination's not, it's not as glorious as the struggle to get there. It's the struggle after to get there, like, when you look back on that struggle, that's what makes us happy. I know I'm saying this now like this is some profound thought, but you can really just scroll through reels and every other motivational stupid reel is going to tell you it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. But what those motivational talks don't tell you is, and most people don't reach the destination, they live with the anger and the frustration and the acknowledgement that they didn't reach the destination. And there's this part of your, it weighs on you. It's why we wrinkle as we get older, that you didn't reach the mountaintop. You know, 99.9% of us don't reach that mountaintop. That's why I think American society, Western society, one of the things we listen to too much is too many successful people get interviewed, and we listen to those thinking, oh, we'll get there. It's partially why I'm doing this project, Verbal Graffiti, thinking somehow I could get there. But most of us are just bums. We get drunk on a weekend. We sniff a little, whatever it is you're going to sniff. You like your kids, but you love them, but you don't love being a parent. And here's my second thing that I've been, this has been on my mind for years. I'm coming at this from a person without children. So all parents listening to this right now, be prepared within the next 30 seconds to be irrationally angry at me. You might think of it as rational. I'll say irrational. You know, we'll just look at things differently. Parents who bitch and whine and complain about the price of daycare. What are you complaining about? So you send your kid to daycare and you complain that, well, it costs like one of our salaries goes towards daycare. And it's, how much is daycare? $300 a week, $500 a week. So that daycare is watching your child, feeding it, nurturing it, being a mom, the father that you're not being for how many hours a week? 30, 40 hours a week, and that costs $300 to $700. And you think that's too much money to be paying for a care center to take care of your toddler? When I look at that picture from an outsider, admittedly, I am an outsider, that seems like you should be paying a lot more money than $500 a week for someone to be watching over your child for up to 40 hours a week. That seems like it should be at least $1,000 a week. I wouldn't trust a daycare center that took a child for under $400 a week with inflation. Yeah, anything under $1,000 a week, you should be thankful. And as for, well, daycare should be free. I've never been in that camp. I don't have children. Why should I have to pay for your daycare? And you'd be like, oh, for it's the betterment of society. But is it? Is it? I think it's, we would be a better society if parents actually parented their children instead of just pushing them off to daycare and have them do it. The problem with daycare is it's the other children. You could be a great parent, but when you send your kids to that center all day, those other 3-year-olds with the with the parents that, you know, they get a little drunk and they talk a little filthy around their children. And then your child gets infiltrated with those swear words and those actions. And maybe they learn how to curse or throw a punch or throw sand at people or just do things that the shitty kids or the shitty parents do. That rubs off on your kid if you're a good parent. And you only have yourself to blame because you're outsourcing your parenting to this daycare center so you can work for a corporation that is underpaying you and that really doesn't care about your well-being at all. As long as you get your work done, that's all they care about. That's one thing about American society. Well, one of many that I really do frown upon. It's this whole daycare system. Maybe I just come at it because my mom worked overnight. She sacrificed her nights to be a real mom and work. And there are so many overnight shifts. If you have a job now, you could probably work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. stocking shelves or doing security overnight. And with the change of lifestyle pay, you'd probably make more than your dumb lollipop day job. I think that's the reason why a lot of our generations coming up may not be as well-mannered as previous generations. It's because we're, like I said, we're outsourcing our parenting, not our parenting, your parenting. I'm a hedonistic gargoyle. I'm not a leader. Don't follow my example. I crouch from behind. That's the way I live my life. But yeah, outsourcing your parenting to daycare and then bitching about the cost of it. That's when you really think about that and you really think about, if some people just do it because every other parent does it, it's like, well, if they bitch about the daycare cost, I'll bitch about the daycare cost. And then we'll have something to talk about when we're in the parking lot picking up our toddlers from the daycare people. When most of the daycare people really are really, it's a 22-year-old babe who's scrolling through her phone, looking through her dating apps, sexting her boyfriend, bitching about the kids to her friends via text. They're not really invested in your child and your child's development. They're wildly underpaid. So they're doing just the bare minimum to keep their job without getting reprimanded from their supervisors, like all of us in corporate America. I don't blame them for that. I blame the parents. So if you're going to have kids, don't send them into daycare. Work out a system where you can be present in your child's life and not have to give them away to others for 40 hours plus or minus 5 hours per week. All right, that's pretty deep for a guy who's never had children. Let's get into something I found on Reddit. Found this on the subreddit. Now you can kind of tell why I don't like, I despise happiness so much that I think about parenthood when I don't have children. Like I get irrationally angry about things that have no influence on my actual life. Like I seek out things to get to debate in my mind and get frustrated about to displace that happiness that I sometimes have. That's how much happiness I run from it. All right. As I was saying, let's get into this one. This comes from the subreddit, Ask Women Over 30. How important is a dishwasher? My husband and I have been together for 12 years, and we've always had a dishwasher. Now we're moving to another city where we want to spend the rest of our lives and looking for our forever home. Aww. Today we found the perfect place, except it doesn't have either a dishwasher or a space for one, even with major renos. My husband cooks a lot, and I work long hours. Probably put your kids in daycare. I often joke that we owe our relationship to having a dishwasher, But I don't know. Maybe we're more mature. Maybe we can get a countertop dishwasher. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm equally scared of missing out on an amazing opportunity. The place is gorgeous. And of facing the next 10 plus years without a dishwasher. Can you all share what your experience have been? Am I being dramatic for not wanting the perfect place just because it doesn't have a dishwasher? Damn, Skippy, you're being a bit over dramatic with this one and not wow, man, I gotta learn how to actually speak in sentences without pauses in the middle of the sentence that ruins the entire rhythm. Okay, B-Man, regain your composure and tell the audience what you think of this lady from this post in Verbal Graffiti. Yeah, you're damn Skippy. You're being a teeny bit overdramatic with this one. You found your perfect place, but it doesn't have a dishwasher. Now, I'm going to say it right out. I am anti-dishwasher. I am a radical. I am as far right as you can go when it comes to dishwashers. I despise them. Don't try coming at me, convincing me otherwise. Don't be knocking on the door and hiding behind the, who are the religious people who knock on your door? I gotta stop saying, you know, the religious people, the weirdos, they knock on your door, they try to convince you into that religion. Don't be hiding behind that person, and then you pop your head open and try, you try upselling me how great a dishwasher will make my life. I'm going to close my ears and go la 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 and not listen to you, because I'm not going to listen to your argument. I am as hardened with this belief as I am with any. I am anti-dishwasher. And you know what it comes down to, the B-Man, I'm a product of my environment. I have not had a dishwasher in my life for probably 30 years. The last 10 years, I have had a dishwasher. I've used it maybe 10 times in 10 years. I'd be better off using that dishwasher as a cabinet or a cupboard. It's just wasting there. It's picking up dust. I don't even know what's on the inside of it. Here's the thing. Like I mentioned in the opening, my mom worked overnights. My father worked during the day. So when my dad got home from work, my mom had a meal ready for my dad and all of us, all five children, because my mom was the boss bitch. And my dad, after we would eat, my dad would wash the dishes, because my dad was a real man. He led by example. He washed the dishes with his hands because he had hands. He doesn't need a machine to do, you know, get the suds going and clean off the glass. And I saw that. And then when we grew up, when we were old enough, my dad made the kids wash the dishes. So I've been washing dishes since I was, I don't know, maybe 10 years old. And it's really not a problem for me. Whenever I've seen people with dishwashers, I look at their lifestyle and their washer as the dishwasher. When it comes down to it, the dishwasher is a cock tease. You think it's going to do all the work for you, but it's really not. Because before you put the dishes in the dishwasher, you have to wash off the dishes. Then you have to berate your children when they put in the dishes, but they're too close to each other. So you have to go in there after those terrible kids of yours and rearrange all the dishes. And then you put on the dishwasher, and then somebody's got to take the dishes out of the dishwasher, you know, after the time's up, and you're probably going to do it in the a.m. before you go to your soulless job. So that's always going to be on your mind when you go to sleep, when I wake up, I need to clean out the dishwasher. So that task is waiting for you. And if you had just cleaned the dishes right after you ate, you wouldn't have to deal with any of that aggravation. 10 minutes, wash the dishes with your hands, and your mind is clear. There's nothing foggy in your frontal lobe, and you can just go about the rest of your night and enjoy your evening and not have that that thing in the back of your head going, I got to wash the dishes before, or I got to clean out the dishwasher before I go to work. And then the next morning, when you clean out the dishwasher, all the glasses and plates, they always have like that film on it, that crusty film that sticks to the plate that you kind of have to scratch it with your fingernail to get it off. I equate it to when you bust on your babe and your cum dries on her belly or wherever it is you're busting, and it gets a little crusty, and you, same thing with your fingernail. You could kind of, you know, you just kind of dig it out with your finger and, wipe it aside on your linens if you're disgusting like me. That's the same thing with the glasses, is where that film. That film is there, whereas if you were just a man or a lady and you wash those dishes with your hands, they would be shiny clean, they'd be in the cabinets, you would not have to worry about them. So that's why I am, yeah, get this house, get this place, your dream place, if it really is. If this is really, if your relationship is being held together by a Kenmore appliance, I think it's time for you to reevaluate your relationship and how perfect you think it is. Now, let me say, it does seem like the poster of this Reddit post is she's the alpha dog in this relationship. She's the one who wears the proverbial pants. She's the one who works the long hours, makes her husband do the cooking. So it seems like from the past in your relationship to the current state, this seems like a very easy compromise where you just tell your husband you're going to have to clean the dishes too, because I work the long hours. I bring home the bacon. You got to do a little bit of extra work. And in return, compromise, compromise, compromise. That's what loving relationships are about. Or so people tell me. I've never been in one, but, you know, that's the propaganda I hear. What you can compromise him with, allow him to play golf a couple more times a week. If you still have that sexual energy, maybe you blow him a couple more times. Maybe you give him anal, or you let him, or you swallow his cum, or whatever his kink is. Maybe you wear a wig for him. I'm prone to liking babes who wear a wig. So just do something foul for him that he likes that maybe you don't. It doesn't get your rocks off. But hey, he's washing the dishes. He's keeping the relationship from teetering at the seams. And sometimes you're going to have to give up your ass to keep that in place. As for this being your greatest, you know, your dream home, the place you're going to be at the next 10 years, my vibes are telling me it's not. I think you could do better. I think you can find a better place. For those of us who spend a lot of time watching HGTV, it's not your dream place if there's not enough room in the kitchen for a dishwasher. Because if there's not enough room for a dishwasher, then there's clearly not an island in the kitchen. And how can this be your perfect dream home, dream place to live without an island in the kitchen? And if there's no room for an island and there's no room for a dishwasher, you're for damn sure you're not going to have one of those wine cellar refrigerator things that are basically the same size as a dishwasher. So clearly, there were some upgrades you could find with your housing. So keep searching for a better place. So don't be dissuaded. There are plenty of places out there. Many people falling into foreclosure. Foreclosure. I'm having a tough time speaking in this opening segment of episode 56. Yeah, but I advise everybody, get rid of your dishwasher. Use your hands if you're healthy enough, because it will make your mind less cluttered and your dishes less cluttered as well. Let's go look at some photos. Musicals. I've never enjoyed musicals, movies, and I have finally discovered why. It's the reason why is the happiness those movies portray. I'm not drawn to that. Those scenes in the musical where it's almost out of pocket, a breaking the fourth wall where all the actors and actresses stop. They'll start doing their dance routine and singing whatever musical notes they're singing. And they're all that emotion, that giddiness, get away. I want no part of that. No part of that. A lot of the smart people, the psychologists, the scientists, they'll tell us, you know, for every action, there's an opposite reaction, or for every emotion, we have the opposite emotion. I think that is true. That is true. Because whenever I see somebody that's happy, automatically that makes me unhappy. And maybe that's just the laws of the universe. When I see somebody smiling, especially if you're in a group with family, friends, coworkers, and you're all smiling together, that's fine. I understand that. But especially if you're alone and you're smiling, it's not that I want to slap you across the face and turn that grin into a frown. I do want to shove your head towards the ground, though, and kind of to physically take that happiness away from you. I never do it because my brain, although it's wired not properly, it's not like diswired that much where I do that. I don't act on those thoughts. What I do is I see you smile, that stranger. I see it on the inside, and it ruins my drive home. And I internalize everything as the passive aggressive guy I am. A lot of babes will complain that strangers come up to them, especially men, and will go, smile, smile, smile. I am not that guy. I am the polar opposite. I'm the type of guy who will come up to you and ask you, why are you smiling, and keep walking? And the tone I had when I asked you that question will make you question, oh, why was I smiling? And it will make you turn that frown upside down. Sorry, that smile upside down. And then I'll ruin your vibe just by how I asked that question. Tone is very powerful. Happiness. It's not anger. It's not anger that I love. It's what's the opposite of happiness? We'll come back to that at some point when I could think of the adjective in my head. This one's a long one, so let's get into this one. This is a subreddit I actually frequent a lot. I was even going to this one before I started verbal graffiti. Learn how to speak, B-Man. Learn how to speak, compose. Okay, let's introduce this one. Comes from the subreddit 2X Chromosomes. And let me tell you, as a guy who comes here and creeps around without posting, they hate men more than I hate happiness. If you're angry towards your man or something a guy has done to you, go to this subreddit. Because they'll side with you, whatever you may be siding with, they're with you. Yeah, so this one comes from, okay, get to it, B-Man. It's a long one, so bear with me. 2X Chromosomes subreddit. Was groped at a grimy theater and boyfriend didn't say anything. My boyfriend and I decided to venture into L.A., and an eccentric friend of mine said he had went to the last standing porno theater in L.A. I told my BF, that's boyfriend, about it, and we're super curious. So after dinner, we decided to check it out just to literally see what it looked like. We had no intention of staying there longer than 30 minutes. I've heard that before. Anyway, we get to the theater and the main attendant is very friendly and a little weird, you don't say? But he gives us a discount, which makes us feel a little bit more comfortable. I don't know if that should. So we enter and are immediately aware that it's not for us. It's a super small theater and smells strange. There are other people there and we watch porn for a while, maybe 5 minutes, and lose interest. Again, we knew it wasn't for us, but we were curious. We decide to leave, and the same attendant stops us and starts asking, why aren't we staying longer? My BF is trying to make excuses to get out, and the attendant starts to grab me around the waist, almost like a side hug. This individual had been friendly, but a little off. But I'm also trying to be nice and don't know what to do, so I don't push him off because I think he's trying to hug me. But it's still weird, and my boyfriend notices. As we keep talking to the attendant about leaving, he abruptly grabs my ass. Whoa. I lost my place. I immediately push him and say, get your hands off me, and rush out the door. I tell my BF that he grabbed my ass, and he proceeds to just get us out of there. As we're walking back to the car, I tell him again that it happened, and my BF says he's so sorry that he can't believe that, but he doesn't say anything to the man. I'm still processing and still in shock. When we get to the car, I start crying. Not only was it uncomfortable, but I was sort of expecting my BF to defend me or say something. I am not expecting him to punch the guy or create chaos, but at least speak up on my behalf. I explained this to him as I am crying, and he kept apologizing and said he should have done better, but that he was choosing to be rational and just trying to get me out of there as soon as possible. The car ride home back was very emotional, and I don't know what to do. This is the first time I've encountered something like this. Am I wrong for wanting to say something? I also feel weak for thinking that. Just lost feeling like he should have that instinct. Thank you. A lot to process there. Again, I want to put myself in your BF boyfriend's sneakers. If we went to this theater and you started within five minutes, you go, I want to leave this porn theater. It's not for me. As soon as we got to the car, I'd be banging on the hood in just irrationally angry. Like, what do you want? You knew this was a porn theater. You knew it was going to be grimy. You knew it was going to be a little awkward. And you made me leave. We wanted to see what this was like. I would have broken up with you on the spot. I would have my car, have my vehicle. I am walking home. Nay, I am going back into the porn theater to get that new experience that we never got. Put the binky back in your crying mouth and go home alone. This relationship is donezo. You got what you wanted. You got the porn, the seedy porn theater experience. You got it all within 10 minutes. Why are you crying? You had the attendant grab your ass. He was a little off. What did you expect from a guy who works at a porn theater? There's a reason why he's working there and not anywhere else. There's a reason why he's not pushing carts at Walmart. It's because he's a little off, and he might grab the ass of patrons without them asking. That's where he's in the position he's in. You gotta have, see, the problem with you, you think you're open-minded. You think, yeah, I'm for LGBT. I am for women's rights. I'm for migrants. I am for climate change. I am for whatever, you know, corporate media's pushing us out, but you're not open-minded, because as soon as you go to an environment, you go to that place in LA that you wouldn't be caught dead in after sunset. For the first time, you go there, you go into your shell like you're a ninja turtle. You are anything but open-minded. You are a normie, which is fine, but don't go telling your girlfriends when you're having your brunch and your bottomless mimosas that you're an open-minded individual, because you're not. Your actions this evening tell me otherwise. Actions are more important. Say more than your words. What did you want your boyfriend to do? What? you got to understand, you're in a foreign country. This is you're out of your element. You're in a grimy porn theater. Like, what were you expecting as soon as you walked in there? Did you expect this place to look like Radio City Music Hall? Did you expect this place to look like a theater made in the 1800s with balconies and handcrafted molding and perfect acoustics? No, it's going to be small. It's going to be dark. You're going to go to the restroom and you're going to feel the piss, the urine, just emanating from the walls and the toilet, and it's going to start to ferment on your skin. Have you ever been in a bathroom stall, maybe a crowded bar, or maybe an old like a sports arena or stadium, and the bathroom is really tight, and you go in? A lot of concert venues have this too, and you can just feel like the piss in the air, and it just kind of sticks and it starts to soak into your pores. That's what I envision when I think of this porn theater. Now, I've never been to a porn theater. There is one in Hartford that I want to go to. I have not found somebody, the right person, who will be my guest when we go. But I will find one, and I will go, and I will report back. But you got to understand, like, your boyfriend cannot, let me reiterate, he cannot get into a physical altercation with this attendant, because you're outnumbered. And this is a porn theater in the bad district of LA. Like, they probably have altercations multiple times a week, probably multiple times a night. You're the first two, like, normie looking people to probably show up there this year. Of course, the guy's going to be excited. He's going to kind of get a little spank on the ass. Now, what were his intentions? Sinister? Probably. But again, you got to chalk it up to the game. You're in a porn theater. Yeah, should he have to pay a penalty? If everything were equal, if the world was perfect, should he be penalized for his actions, for whether, you know, sexually, I'm not sure if that's assault, but he's making you feel uncomfortable. Should there be a penalty for that? Yes. But again, you're on foreign land. Your boyfriend's actions were appropriate. His reaction was, let's get the fuck out of here as soon as we can. Because there are probably a lot of altercations. And that attendant, if it was not him, there were probably other employees at the porn theater who had a blade on them, a minimum of 4 inches. And what would you do if your boyfriend he went hands on that attendant, knocked him out, another employee comes out, stabs him in the chest, you end up at the hospital with lacerations, he needs to have emergency surgery, and then your family and friends come to the hospital, and then they start asking you, hey, why were you at a porn theater in a bad district in LA at 10 o'clock at night? And then you're gonna tell your family and friends, oh, I promise, we had this eccentric friend, it was our first time ever being there, and your family and friends, you know, they're going to call bullshit, and they're going to think you're turning tricks on the wrong side of the track. You're swallowing cum for a crumpled up $50 bill. That's what your family and friends are going to think of you. So be thankful that your boyfriend got you out of there as quickly as he can, because that situation, when you're outnumbered, get out. Get out as quickly as you can without physical altercation. What your boyfriend could have done, he could have had a go fuck yourself in his back pocket. I advise everybody, always have a go fuck yourself handy in the back pocket. So when someone mouths off or someone touches your lady wrong, go fuck yourself. And you hit him with that. You hit him with that line, and then you grab your lady and you run away. This reminds me, there was a time years ago, I went to a Yankee game. I brought a babe. She paid for the tickets, but I brought her to the Yankee game, if that makes any sense. We were there. She's a hot babe, Ecuadorian babe. We're in the upper deck, and fifth, sixth, seventh inning, she goes, I'm tired. The Yankees, they were down 7 or 8 runs. She goes, let's leave. And I'm a guy, my dad taught me, you never leave early. You paid for the ticket. You never know what will happen. And of course, she was tired, whining, so we left. And in that very moment, when she said, I'm tired, I want to leave, it was the 6th or 7th inning, In that moment, I knew, oh, she's not the one for me. She's not getting a ring for me. Anyone who's bitching about being tired when all you're doing is sitting down, watching others exert their energy on a field, you're not the one for the B-man. In that moment, and of course, what happened after we left? Yankees came back from 7 or 8 runs down. I listened to it on the train ride home. I missed one of the biggest comebacks in Yankees history. Go fuck yourself, that lady who made me leave. Not going to say her name. That you're that type of lady. I hope your boyfriend stops being a beta soy boy. I'm trying to come up with a new word that others don't use. I hope he stops being a gooner and stops apologizing. I'm like, what the fuck are you crying about? We were just in danger, and I got out of there as quickly as possible. You should be thanking me. You should be giving me roadhead on the way home instead of crying and questioning my manhood and what this relationship is. I hope you break up with him, because he's not going to break up with you, because he's not aware enough. He's not outspoken enough to tell you that his actions were correct that evening. And I really hope the two of you, for his sake, I hope the two of you don't end up married. Go suck a fat one.